This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. An advisory committee to the Food and Drug Administration is taking up an issue that the agency has been dealing with for more than 20 years, the safety of silicone gel breast implants. NPR's Joanne Silberner reports.
Today, dozens of women and doctors are scheduled to speak out in favor of the silicone gel implants. Gail is one. She's a hospital manager who didn't want us to use her last name. Gail is genetically predisposed to breast cancer. To eliminate the risk of cancer, she had both her breasts removed and saline-filled implants put in. When she did that, she suffered a common side effect. The saline implants rippled.
When you look at a pond, and if you threw a stone in the pond and you see the ripples that start to go out from that stone, that was the pattern that you could see through my skin.
So Gail had the saline implants approved for general use replaced with silicone ones. Reports of ruptures and immune system problems with silicone implants prompted the FDA in 1992 to limit their use to women like Gail who've had mastectomies or who have malformed breasts. The agency has been waiting for safety data before letting all women opt for silicone gel-filled implants. Gail's surgeon is Scott Speer of Georgetown University. He's the president of the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, and he's a paid advisor to a silicone gel implant manufacturer. He demonstrates why most of his patients who qualify for the gel ask for it.
I'm holding in my hand a silicone gel implant. It feels a little bit like a marshmallow. You know, it's kind of a spongy, malleable thing. The saline implant, which I'm going to hold in my hand now, it's bouncier. It doesn't feel like a breast. It feels more like a water balloon.
The FDA has considered silicone gel data several times since it limited their use, most recently in January 2004. Each time the agency concluded that there wasn't enough proof that the benefits outweighed the risks. But plastic surgeon Speer says doctors, manufacturers, and patients aren't going to give up.
Silicone gel implants keep coming back because as much as people keep looking for a safer, better alternative, they keep coming back to silicone as being the most effective material with a good safety record.
But then there's Sybil Goodrich of Beverly Hills. She had a silicone gel implant 22 years ago after a mastectomy. She ended up having three more implant procedures, trying to fix the problems caused by the gel.
I had implants that turned into baseballs on my chest. I had an implant that tried to push its way through some scar tissue. I had an implant that didn't stay in place. It went up and made me look like a middle linebacker.
Goodrich will speak out at the hearing against silicone gel implants. So will plastic surgeon Edward Melmed of Dallas. He stopped doing implants 13 years ago.
I got alarmed at the amount of complications I was seeing from implants long-term, not short-term, but long-term.
Former FDA Commissioner David Kessler, who first raised safety questions, agrees long-term issues are key.
FDA has an obligation to make sure that even if you say, I want these today, that people really do understand what are going to be the cosmetic benefits in a decade.
Surgeon Edward Melmed thinks American culture is creating a demand. He's turned a couple of teenagers away from his office. Their parents wanted to buy them the surgery for their birthdays.
Society has become so fixated on breasts. All the shows like Extreme Makeover, every single woman gets monstrous big breasts put into them. And it's become almost a cultural acceptance of this.
Determining long-term safety won't be easy for the advisory committee. Plastic surgeon Speer, for example, says improvements to silicone gel implants mean a 2.5% incidence of rupture a year. Plastic surgeon Melman says it's more than double that in the long term. Joanne Silberner, NPR News, Washington.